Okay, well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this, the open floor hearing for the application by Multifuel Energy Limited for an order granting development consent for the Ferry Bridge Multifuel 2 power station. That's what we're here for today. And today's date, for the record, is Tuesday the 17th of March 2015, and we're in Nottingley Town Hall. And the reason I'm saying that is this is being recorded and it will be lodged on the Planning Inspectorate website as part of the project record. So that's the reason for making that clear. Introductions, first of all. My name is Dr. Mike Ebert. I'm the examining authority for this examination. On behalf of the, in this case, the Secretary of State for Energy and Climate Change. And would ask other people to introduce themselves in just a moment. But housekeeping, first of all. It's pretty obvious, really, but the exits, you obviously spotted the one you came in through, but there's also one the back in the event of emergencies. The fire procedure is we're not expecting any fire drill this afternoon, so if there is a fire alarm, it would be for real. And if you make your way out through the exits, the muster point is through the front door, off to the right, and on the green outside. So that's in the event of a fire alarm. If you wouldn't mind switching mobile phones off, please, that would be very useful as well. I know there's always one in every audience, isn't there, that goes off unexpectedly, but if we can try and make sure it doesn't happen. And if you turn your device to silent mode, if you keep it away from the microphones, that will apparently help the sound situation. Thank you very much. If you use social media in regard to anything to do with this examination, we'd ask you to use it responsibly. I'm sure you will anyway, but just ask you to do that. So that's housekeeping. Anything else, Sarah? That's okay on the housekeeping front. Introductions. So I've said who I am. Perhaps the applicant, Multifuel Energy, would, if you'd like to introduce yourselves, if you'd say your name and your role, that would be useful, please. Those of you who intend to take some part in the proceedings.
Hey, thank you, sir. My name is Jeff Bullock from Dalton Warner Davis. We're the planning consultants acting on behalf of Multifuel Energy.
And Richard Lowe from what was URS and is now ACOM. We were the leading the environmental works for the application.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sorry, I'm Chris Ratcliffe from Wheel Abrasive Technologies, and I'm the project manager for the DCO application.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Ian Piper, project manager.
If you wait for the microphone to come round, then we'll get your names on the recording. Thank you very much.
And Ian Piper, project manager FM2 from SSE.
Right. Okay, that's Multifuel Energy. Anyone else from you? No. Anyone else? Oh, yeah, okay, here we go.
Sir, my name is Marcus. My name is Marcus Mackay. I'm an advocate at the Scottish Bar. I'm instructed by Hazel Scott of SSE, and I've been involved in support role with, on behalf of the applicant, Mel.
Okay, thank you very much. And thank you. Now, does anybody else want to introduce themselves, either as a speaker or an attendee? No? Okay. As far as we understand it, Sarah can put me right if I'm wrong on this. I don't think we've had any notifications of wish to speak at this open floor hearing. Mr. Williams, is that you, sir?
It is.
You'd like to speak at this hearing?
I would, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Do you want to do that now?
Now, if we just wait for a few moments. What I'll do first of all is I'll just take you through where the examination is, because I'm sure some of you won't be quite as immersed in it as some of the rest of us may have been over the last period of time. So we'll go through that first. And again, that will be partly for ourselves in the room today and partly as a record for those who may wish to listen to the record after this. And then we'll open up and see who wants to say what. So we'll do it in that order. The application was submitted by Multifuel Energy on the 30th of July 2014. It was accepted on the 20th of August 2014, accepted for examination, that is. It then went into a pre-examination phase from then till the 4th of December 2014. The preliminary meeting was held on that day, the 4th of December 2014, and the examination started on the following day, the 5th of December 2014. That then launched a six-month period of examination. That's a statutory period, so the examination should finish at the latest by the 4th of June 2015. That's a statutory period. I issued the first written questions on the 18th of December 2014, and the first deadline, the first formal deadline, was the 22nd of January 2015. Now, on that date, by that date, at the first deadline, we had received comments on the relevant representations that we'd received in the pre-examination period, comments on those from the applicant. We had received written representations from three interested parties. That's the Canal and River Trust, the Environment Agency, and National Grid. So they all provided written representations at that date. And we had local impact reports from two of the local councils working together, that's Selby District Council and North Yorkshire County Council. And we also had a local impact report from Wakefield Metropolitan District Council. So two of those local impact reports. We had updated statements of common ground between the applicant and the Canals and Rivers Trust, the Environment Agency, Selby District Council, and Wakefield Metropolitan District Council. And not all of those were signed at that stage, but they were updated at that stage. And we have responses to my first written questions, those that I issued on the 18th of December, and those were from the applicant, the Canals and Rivers Trust, the Environment Agency, National Grid, Wakefield and Selby, with North Yorkshire working together. So thanks to you all for all those submissions at that date. That was all a very useful start. Then we moved on to deadline two. That was the 17th of February 2015. And basically that was really an opportunity for all the interested parties to comment on the material received at the first deadline. And we had, basically, we had responses from the applicant at that point, eight of them, I think, but nobody else. So make what you will of that. Eight responses from the applicant, comments on the written representations, responses to the comments on the relevant representations, comments on the local impact reports, comments on the responses to the first questions, and a revised draft development consent order marked up in track changes mode and also clean. So an updated draft development consent order up to date as of that point, the 17th of February 2015. So that's deadline two. We then move on to deadline three, which was the 12th of March, just last week. And as at that date, we hadn't received anything, but we have received something more recently, which is, well, not specifically in relation to deadline three, but we have received online submissions from various parties who won't be attending this meeting or tomorrow's meeting, and that's National Grid, Natural England, and the Environment Agency, and they've all those three submissions have been published on the website for you to look at, but they only arrived towards the end of last week, so they're fairly new. Now, National Grid said that negotiations have been progressing well and were likely to be concluded next week. That's this week. And I gather we've had a subsequent document from them this very day saying that those negotiations had been concluded. But I personally haven't had a chance to read that yet. Natural England said they also couldn't attend tomorrow, but they, in relation to an agenda item on tomorrow's meeting, the meeting on the development consent order, they had said they didn't wish to be a consortee for the biodiversity management plan, which was one of the questions that we'd asked. And the Environment Agency said they couldn't attend either tomorrow, but they would address the agenda points by the 2nd of April at the latest. Okay, and the documents received today, I understand, were from the applicant, Multifuel Energy, National Grid, and Yorkshire Wildlife Trust. I think Yorkshire Wildlife Trust, as I understand it, have also said that the issues with them have been resolved. But we'll take a look at those submissions in slower time when we have a chance to look at them. So that's where we are with the application, with the examination. We've got deadline four coming up on the 2nd of April, and that will again contain people's responses to other people's submissions and any written summaries of oral cases put at these two hearings today and tomorrow. That's the primary thing on deadline four. And then deadline five follows shortly after the 17th of April 2015, by which time we'll be fairly close to the end of the examination, we expect, based on what we're seeing so far in the proceedings. Okay, is that all clear to everyone? I know it's a bit of a whistle-stop tour through the examination, but we're already two-thirds of the way through it, and thanks again for all the submissions. Right. Okay. In which case, I shall invite Mr... Is it Williams or Williams?
Willans.
Yeah. If you'd like to make your statement, that would be very good. And if you'd use a microphone, then we can get your statement on record as well.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Willans. I live at the Ferrybridge Lockhouse, which, to probably most, is not directly affected by the power station itself. But indirectly of how the fuel and the waste from the plants, and I mean plants because obviously there's various plants now cropping up in the area with Kellingley incinerator and others in the area. There seems to be obviously or will be an increase in the HGV traffic around the road infrastructure. I'd like to ask if the Highways Agency has attended and have been involved and a representative, or is that through the Wakefield Council? That's the first question I'd like to ask and to be on record. For the reason being that the use of rail for the fuel coming in, certainly at the consultation, wasn't an option for various issues, which basically means that with the numerous plants that's come into the site, or proposal of plants coming to the site, could mean anything up to 300,000 additional HGVs on the road. In particular, the around the new roundabout at Brotherton and over the A162 River Air Bridge, which directly affects certainly where I live, and the noise levels and noise pollution that comes off that bridge. Already a noisy bridge, but very intermittently. The sheer volume of HGVs going over the bridge, or plan to go over that bridge in future, makes the noise pollution that much more unbearable for certainly residents like myself. I've been recording the levels of noise off the bridge into my property and land, and with the right prevailing westerly winds, I'm getting readings up to 85 decibels external of the building. Internally of the building, I'm getting up to 59.2 decibels, and it's ever increasing the noise levels and the HGVs that's using that road since a roundabout at Brotherton, as a change on the highway has been made. So obviously, I have issues regarding that, personal issues, and I imagine other residents in the Ferrybridge village also as that issue that they're probably not aware of at the moment, but obviously will be if HGVs is the only way into the plant. Like I say, it's an additional 300,000 HGVs on that existing infrastructure, which, yes, has capacity, but certainly not the wrong way in polluting the air, and certainly, for me, noise levels in particular. You know, the times of deliveries have been clear, clearly labelled as 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. So we're currently going from very few HGVs that couldn't use the route purely because of 7.5 ton weight restrictions and a one-way system round Ferrybridge. Now they use that route, and obviously the new roundabout that's being built, especially for the HGVs, to get round that problem. Obviously, again, I'd like all the representatives, if not already, to look at the logistics of using rail and not the road. That's obviously, we're all being told to use the road less. But in these instances, we're physically, how can I put it, in no fewer words, going backwards in emissions and noise pollution in using the roads. And I believe we should use them less. So that wraps up my little gripe.
Thank you very much. Have you got that in written form that you can submit to us?
I've actually wrote initially.
Yes.
But then there's certainly the noise level. I've been doing a log of that. And some of the HGVs that give these readings, obviously off the road bridge. Obviously to mitigate the problems that I certainly will be incurring as a result of the sign-off of this proposal, is obviously Highways Agency and Wakefield Council to look at that bridge and put some soundproofing into it, or the materials of the bridge is certainly of not the right materials.
Thank you very much. I think it would be helpful if you could submit that in writing, and also your proposals for mitigation would also be useful. And I'll now invite Multifuel Energy, if you want to respond today, if you feel able to do so, that would be useful. Obviously, if not, you'll have a chance to do so in writing when you've seen the submission from Mr. Williams.
Okay. Thank you. Just to respond to a couple of other points. First of all, have the Highways Agency been involved in the process? Yes, they were a statutory consultee, and we have an agreed statement of common ground with the Highways Agency. So they appraised the approach we're taking to our assessment and the routes that we were going to be using for fuel deliveries. So that's in the statement of common ground. In terms of the use of the rail, it's unfortunate that we weren't able to attend the site visit because there is a rail siding that's been installed as part of the FM1 development, including a rail gantry for the offloading of rail deliveries. So there's been investment made in the site to facilitate the use of rail where it's sustainable, which is the issue we have at this stage because fuel contracts are not finalised. We're not in a position to say what can be brought in by rail, which is why we've assessed the worst case as delivery by road. But certainly the rail facility on the site is available. I think the 300,000 vehicles a year being talked about, it seems a little high. I think it's around about a sixth of that level.
It's around about what?
There was reference to 300,000 vehicles delivering fuel to the site, and I think it's about a sixth of that level over the year.
Was that? Did you mean 300,000 a year? That does seem a rather large number of vehicles. It's
the vehicles go off the bridge twice because of the roundabout.
Going back to the rail thing, as part of your environmental permit to operate, the use of rail is stated in there a certain percentage. And I believe that was 50-50, but I might be wrong. But now coming back to the HGVs, the HGVs are not just delivering, they're actually going back over the bridge, the same route. So you're duplicating by two the deliveries. You've also got the waste product, which also goes on there. But also, remember, it depends on what weight limit of the actual HGV is. So I've based my calculations on a 10-ton wagon. You may be using 20-ton, but that depends on the contractor that's bringing it in. So you know, again, mine's based on worst case as a 10-ton vehicle. And obviously no rail, as you said. You'll be defaulting to HGV and not rail because of the sorting depots' lack of infrastructure. Thank you.
Multi-fuel energy, I'll give you a chance to respond to that as well. And then, as I say, you can respond more fully in writing if you wish.
I think so. I mean, we can certainly set out the size of the vehicles that are going to be used and the numbers that are likely to be accessing the site. So we can set that out in writing afterwards. Obviously, one of the requirements that we're committing to under the DCO is to use a sustainable fuel transport management plan, which specifies that we will be considering what forms of transport are used for the delivery of fuel for contracts over a certain threshold, and there'll be engagement with various parties as part of the delivery of that plan. So that's our commitment to trying to seek alternative options for fuel deliveries. And I suppose just the only final point was just reference to the wider Ferrybridge village. The use of the Dishill roundabout and the A162, which was the former A1, diverts HGVs through that no longer now need to go through Ferrybridge Square. So.
Okay, thank you very much. If we can leave that point then with Mr. Williams, if you don't mind submitting your argument in writing, and then Multi-Fuel Energy, I guess you'll take the opportunity to respond.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Any more comments from the floor? Yes. If you'd like to state your name first of all, that would be very good. Thank you.
Margaret Gill, the Oakland Hill Residents Association. We've been experiencing some very bad noises, and it's been a battle between the motorway and Multifuel One at the moment. Nobody wants to admit there being a problem from either of the two. I have been in contact with the highways guy. Didn't want to speak to me. Well, over the last 4 months, we have done a circular on the Oak Hill Park estate. And at the moment, I'm just collating all the information from this sheet that's been given to these people to see just how bad it really is. I myself thought I was suffering in silence since October 2013, but since this form has been circulated, other people have been suffering in silence as well. They just haven't wanted to mention it. But it is really, really bad, and the vibration in my house, sometimes it frightens me. I mean, they're not brick built, but honestly, it is terrible, frightening at times. And there's not only where I live, it's the whole length of the park. And nobody will admit to there being a problem. I've had the environmental health out the first year it started. No, it's not Multifuel One. I even had something in my house. Didn't register. And they said, no, it's the highways. Get onto the highways. So you ring the highways. Not us, Multifuel. And that's how we have been on that park for the last year. We have rung them, and the beeping, the noise in the summer of some, whatever they're doing on the Multifuel, this beeping noise has been going on till 7 and 8 o'clock on a night in the summer. We have no summer at all. We cannot sit out at all. It is so bad with the noise from the motorway, which has increased this year. It's really bad, and I wish somebody would come and monitor it sometime. What we're asking for is for something to stop this coming across, because it seems to be hitting this blue painted wall and coming back. It's sometimes like aeroplanes over your house. And there's nothing there. The sound is really, really bad. I just would like to know, when we have processed all this information from people, we have got a blank plan of the whole of Oakland Hill, where I'm going to put various things. Who would like to have a look at this? And there's bound to be a pattern of where people are getting the vibrations.
You've started to document this, have you?
I'm collating. At the end of this week is the deadline date for all the forms to be in, and then we're putting it onto this blank sheet, but with the houses, and putting, well, in colour form sort of thing. But where do we go from there? What do we have to do? There's people's comments on these sheets that I've circulated. Can't sleep, making me feel ill, because I have to go to... Some people work where we live. They're not all pensioners. Can't get up on the morning. But it's like just, well, nobody wants to know.
Again, if you'd like to submit what you've said to this meeting, if you submit that in writing to us, that would help us, certainly help me to give it due consideration. And again, I would ask Multifuel Energy for your initial response to that, what's just been said, with the opportunity, obviously, of responding in writing as well.
Thank you. Obviously, we sympathise when everybody has to undergo a high level of noise. But I think from the FM2 perspective, obviously, we've worked to understand what the implications of FM2 will be, and we've agreed with the Environmental Health Officer the setting of appropriate limits for construction noise at night, should that be needed, and also construction noise in the day will be agreed by condition or by requirement. And similarly, operational noise will be controlled through the environmental permit, and that will be controlled in accordance with the plan to be agreed with the EHO. So we're certainly aware of our responsibilities. In terms of the existing noise, we have a complaints register for the construction of FM1, and as far as we are aware, there have been around about 17 complaints made in total to the contractor, two of which were substantiated for noise day and night. Obviously, Margaret attends the community liaison group as well for FM1 and Ferrybridge as a whole, so we're in regular contact, but we've not been able to identify consistent noise issues associated with the FM1 construction. I think early on there was some discussion around reversing alarms on vehicles, which was then stopped. So we've certainly got some lessons learnt through the FM1 process, but we don't have a large body of evidence to suggest that FM1 is causing any particular issues at this stage.
Have you identified Mrs. Gill's location as a receptor for monitoring noise and vibration?
Yes, so monitoring has been undertaken by the contractor for FM1, but obviously that's outside this discussion. But there has been monitoring undertaken to understand the baseline levels. And then what our limits will be set for FM2 will be based on the ambient noise levels, and therefore determining with the EHO what is an appropriate level to be set for the FM2 operation and construction.
There's always with these kinds of things, there's always the sort of formal position that monitoring devices say, and then there's what the actual residents themselves note and report back, as Mrs. Gill has just done. What's your response to that?
Well, I think we just need to make sure that the monitoring is valid for the periods, and I think from what you're saying, it's about perception of the noise, you mean, as opposed to what the monitor's picked up.
Well, it sounds like even if your noise monitoring is saying that the noise is within acceptable limits, the residents are saying they don't think so, at least with FM1. I know we're talking about FM2, but the experience of FM1 must be relevant, I would have thought, in this regard.
Yeah. I think in discussions we've had, it seems that it's the motorway noise that's the primary concern, perhaps if we could just clarify that point, rather than FM1. Is it more motorway or is it more the motorway noise
Well, it varies, to be quite honest. It can start at 2 o'clock. I can get these noises in my house at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it can carry on. And at the weekend, from 5 o'clock tea time till 11 o'clock at night, and vibrations. Excuse me.
Is there construction traffic outside the agreed limits for FM1?
No.
I must admit that some of the... I'd been out 2 and 3 o'clock on the morning walking round the park to find out where this noise is. And mostly, early morning, it is the motorway, really. But sometimes it's this vibration noise concerns me and others on the park.
Can you be sure that it's due to FM1 construction traffic?
I don't know. You see, people from the Environmental Health have said, well, we can't hear anything. You know, I even went for a hearing test Because they were sort of alluding that I was going a bit bonkers, I think, that I was hearing things and it wasn't anything to be worried about. But once I have set this in motion about all the other residents, the 75% of them I've got back from them with complaints.
Okay, I'm not sure we can take it much further today. Unless you want to, multi-fuel energy, you want to say one more thing?
A couple more points just to add, sir. Richard Lowe just sort of mentioned how we've agreed limits with the local authority Wakefield that are sort of embodied into the requirements. But in addition to that, one of the requirements actually includes a sort of complaints procedure, which we've also agreed with Wakefield. So, you know, there will be the ability for people, if they have problems, to raise those and a sort of a protocol to go through to address that. And as part of discharging that requirement, the applicant will have to sort of set out the measures that they will employ to do so. So there will be, if there are issues that arise, there will be a way of dealing with those on the project. I just wanted to clarify that point.
Mrs. Gill wants another go at that. So.
Mentioned this before the motor. I've been on the park 9 years. Before the motorway was extended, before multi-fuel came on, we had beautiful, quiet residential park. And since the both have amalgamated, it's just hell.
Thank you very much. I think you've made your point very well, and we've recorded it, certainly. Thank you. As I say, if you wouldn't mind writing it down as well, that would also help us. Okay. Well, those are two very good points from two of you. Any more from the floor? Any more points you want to raise while you have the opportunity to do so today? All quiet. Okay. Well, we thought this might be a fairly short meeting, so it's actually probably been a bit longer than we thought it might have been. So, Sarah, anything else that we need to think about? No. Okay. In which case, let me draw this. Mr. Williams, yes.
Okay. Again, it involves the HGV route, mainly the junction of Fishergate down and Stranglands Lane down the A162 slip road. That junction currently in peak traffic is quite a difficult junction to get out with a motor vehicle. Now, obviously, as I've previously mentioned about the sheer volume of HGVs that will be using that route in future, and with other plants around the region using it also, and proposal of further plants, I'm afraid to say that junction with two blind corners, I know it has a speed limit, but not everyone physically sticks to it, unfortunately, that junction can be quite dangerous for a car pulling out. And that's coming off the A162 slip road past the household waste on your left. And you can look both ways, right and left, and you've got blind corners both sides. And even for a motor vehicle, it's difficult to get out. There's been a fair few near misses that I've witnessed. Now, obviously, with HGVs going in every 54 seconds into the FM1 and FM2 plants, that junction may need serious looking at before an accident is incurred.
Thank you very much. Again, multi-fuel energy, your opportunity to respond to that point as well.
Well, we j- Just to say that we have obviously assessed the capacity of that junction and the adequacy of that junction, and we also undertook some specific modelling of traffic flows through the junction to satisfy ourselves, because clearly we don't want to put a traffic route in that's going to cause problems. So we've investigated it and evaluated it and discussed it with the local authority and highways agency, and neither of those required or proposed that any mitigation or enhancement of the junction was necessary given the capacities involved. So.
Okay, Mr. Williams, it sounds like the authorities are saying that, in their view, there isn't a problem. But, again, if you want to write your observation down as a submission, that'd be thank you very much. And likewise, Multifuel Energy's response would also be welcomed. Mrs. Gill, come on in.
Because I do travel down there, and the road under that bridge is sinking. It's flooded. How often? Every winter, isn't it?
Every time it rains.
Every time, yeah. And this is subsidence from which colliery, I don't know, because I'm a stranger around these parts, but it is flooded, and the buses and the cars cannot get through. They have to divert. And yet we're going to have more heavy vehicles coming off to go under that bridge.
It's the point you're making, that the existence of the new Multifuel 2 will exacerbate an existing problem. Is that the point you're making?
Yes, right. It will. I mean, even the lorries that used to come to the power station when I first went there, you know, there was quite a lot of them, but it was still flooded. And now it's even worse.
Obviously, I'll take your response to that as in any form you care to craft it. But I think that's probably aired that point quite well, actually. Thank you very much. Any other points before we draw to a close? No. Well, I think the actions we've taken there are, if Mrs. Gill and Mr. Williams, if you'd draft your comments in writing and send them to the Planning Inspectorate, and Multifuel Energy, if you want to take the opportunity to respond, that would be very good. Those are the only actions I've noted in my mind. Is that fair, Sarah? Yeah. Okay, well, in that case, let me draw this open floor hearing to a close, and thank you very much for all your contributions. There's an issue-specific hearing tomorrow. Sarah can tell me the start time, 9:30, is it? Yes. 9:30. Issue-specific hearing on the draft development consent order, and we've got a tailored agenda for that, which we'll go through. So that's a specific hearing tomorrow in this very venue. So that's it. Thank you very much indeed for your time. I'll now draw this to a close.